Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coach, is wondering the wide receiver tight end position right now, just that lack of production, is that kind of affecting how you play calling, moving the ball down the field?
Overall, we need more production offensively, too. I think we probably have more production out of the tight end position in this game than we've had all year.
And they got him across the middle. That's the tight end, Israel. Oh, the ball loose, picked up by Justin Simmons.
Aussie. This is when you start to see him. He's due now.
Oh, he's due. Is that what
it's time.
Going?
He's due. It's time.
So here's the
more game. Is Uche due?
Yes.
He can't be active.
He's due to play. He's due
what
to be
a draft
active.
Class. Yeah. I tell you, this offseason, you're an idiot. What do you mean they didn't go get anybody? They so drafted the biggest... two linebackers, a safety, two tight ends.
Devin Asiagi.
You know that's the biggest... best draft class you'll ever see in your life. Wait. I saw them all in film.
All right, like you whip out your tight end, I'll whip out my tight end.
A guy like Devin Asiasi, is he kind of progressing?
Well, I think all of our young players are getting better. We'll take it game by game, week by week, and see how it goes. I don't know.
Who do you call him,
Asiagi? Is that what
he calls him?
Asiagi.
It's a sushi dish.
I will say this, that this is the most stunning thing. The Patriots do a lot of things well, and they make mistakes. There's no question about them. But this is a mistake that seems to just be generating over and over and over again. It's an offense that kind of fed off of the tight end position. And then since that injury to Gronk a couple of years ago, they can't seem to do anything. Tommy Curran wrote a piece, What Happened to the Patriots Tight End Factory? So I'll start with our tight end. What the hell happened to it?
Man, I tell you what, I think they're a little bit late to the dance. I think they're a couple things. Late to the dance.
You think?
Whoa, Matt, that soda kind of got to me real quick.
Yahtzee.
Late to the dance. And then I think they underestimated, or overestimated actually, how certain players during free agency felt about them. I think there were guys that they went after during that free agency year in 2019 when Gronk suddenly, I'll say suddenly, retired. I don't think they were ready for it. But they still had the draft and they still had free agency, so they can make up for it. There were guys that they were available, and there's a long list of them. You know, when you talk about Jared Cook, when you talk about guys that you know could play, he was one of them. They tried to get him. He said no. And I think he said no for the main reason that they weren't offering enough money. But it wasn't like they didn't try to fill that void. There was other guys. Jesse James was a guy. He played for the Steelers. They brought in Austin Safari and Jenkins. Remember him? He was here for like a hot minute. That didn't turn into anything. Tyler Eifert was available also. Tyler Croft was available. So Darren Fells was another big dude that was available at the time, but they couldn't sign any of them. None of those guys wanted to play here. And then the guys that did want to play here, they didn't value enough. They didn't think it was any sort of, some real big upgrade. Yeah. So they passed on them.
They dropped.
And for saying it, they missed. They misfired big time.
So Gronk was in 2018, threatening to retire. And even forget about the retirement thing. You would just think if you're the New England Patriots, you would look at him and say, you know, there's a lot of injuries. He is getting older. You know, he should have done the same thing with Brady when they drafted Garoppolo. You know, when he considered the contract situation and the age of our tight end. You know, that's why we went out and got two. Like, they go out and get two this year. I don't know. Maybe next year. Asiasi and Keen, they turn into something special. Right? I'm not going to sit there and say neither one can play. We haven't, Keen hasn't been in the field. Asiasi hasn't have a target yet. I don't know. Are they slow to pick it up? I don't know. So maybe next year we'll find out. But that should have been the approach back in 2017. You know, Tommy talks about how current NBC Sports Boston.com, since 2010, between that and 2019, they have drafted three tight ends. Fifth rounder Lee Smith in 2011. Sixth rounder A.J. Derby in 2015. And Izzo in 2015 and 18. Three. They spent a fifth, a sixth, and a sixth on tight end position, knowing how much Gronk gets beat up. The minute Aaron Hernandez's ass ended up in prison, they should have been drafting tight ends. Right?
Well, they should have at least been trying to find a complementary piece.
And
with,
they did.
Gronk.
They did.
And Dwayne Allen was here also.
He was
also available at that time. But, so here's the guy.
Bennett was another one.
So they've been actively
but draft
the
kid behind
it.
Them.
They've always been usually been trades or some sort of free agent.
So they were using the tight end a lot more in their offense than most teams in the league are. And as you look at it now, there are a lot of really good tight ends. You're going to see one this Sunday. But he was a fifth round draft pick. You're going to see a lot of good ones. And Belichick had the connection to the coach at Iowa, where they seem to groom these tight ends. I don't understand the disconnect here, Christian. I don't. This seemed to be something Bill valued. This position was
always
a valued
Glenn,
position.
He's always go back. I'm just going to use myself as an example. I mean, we actually talked about this when we were taping our very popular, highly rated show, Ineligible Speakers, last night, when we had Lorenzo Neal from San Francisco on. We talked about how, how they drafted two tight ends in 3 years. Two in the first round. I signed as a free agent. They drafted Daniel Graham. Moved up to get Daniel Graham. Then 2 years later, they drafted Ben Watson. And then if you look at it, I mean, you remember Kyle Brady was here. I mean, Scott Chandler didn't really turn out to anything. But they've always gone for a high-quality guy. Like a guy that's either on a crappy contract, but still got – but they always fill that position with a good player. Not a risky – you know, we don't know what he can do. Even with Gronk and Hernandez, even with Gronk, they brought in Algie Crumpler. And Algie was the guy that they went to during crunch time. And both those guys were productive. But Algie, I remember he ended up dropping a pass in the end zone during one of the playoff games because they were forcing the issue to him because they didn't trust the younger guys in a playoff game.
I knew Lou asked a question to Belichick, and he's obviously not going to answer it. But it is the most puzzling thing about the Patriots is that they have seemed to change direction with a tight end when it was such an important part of their offense. And you can just see it in their actions now.
Well, they used to be really good at it. That's the other thing. They were really good at it, at drafting tight ends, getting free agent tight ends. It was really rare as far as the amount of years that have gone by that they would miss.
Well, you look at 2018 was – you know, Gronk, Detroit, I'm going to retire. No, I'm not going to play. I'm going to play. Vroom, vroom, vroom. I'm very excited about riding motorcycles. His last year playing. So that was the year, you know, you went with Isaiah Wynn. Then you came back with Sony Michel. And like we do every year, we sit there and say, all right, maybe they take that first pick. But the second pick, 31 overall, they probably trade that and flip it for some more picks, right, to move back in the draft. 2018 draft. Mike Gesicki, Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, Jordan Akins, Ian Thomas, Dalton Schultz. I would have taken all of them.
Yeah.
Six tight ends that are playing now. Schultz down in Dallas, of course, Thomas in Carolina, Akins in Houston, and you know the other guys. So, you know, I don't know. Instead, you know, it's Sony Michel. You know, he could have moved. But Duke Dawson, by the way, another one in the second round. A year later, they just dumped him because they need to keep Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah, for some reason, there seems to be less of an emphasis on it, and yet we've got a guy coming in on Sunday who was a fifth-round draft pick in George Kittle, and he's a hell of a player. He's a, you know, a Gronk-type player. Rob Ninkovich on with Greg Hill, and he believes, and I wonder if you guys agree with him, the Patriots have the personnel to stop George Kittle this week?
Bill's coming in. He's saying, everyone focus on what you have to do to make this team better. We're going to focus. Each and every player is going to go out there. We're going to practice. We're going to work on ball security. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're going to go out here all week, and we're going to do the right things. We're going to have a good week of practice, and we're going to have a good game plan against the 49ers. And he's going to come up with three things that stop that we need to do to stop the 49ers to win. And the number one is Kittle. You can't let Kittle beat you. So it's going to be trying to stop Kittle. They have the players defensively that can stop Kittle. They can put somebody on him. They'll jam him at the line. They'll slow him down. Number two is going to stop the run. If you can't stop the run, it's going to be a long day. So stop Kittle, number one. Number two, stop Kittle. And number three, hit Jimmy G.
Who are the personnel that's going to stop George Kittle?
I don't know. Did he answer that? Other than just say that they have the personnel? Is it Adrian Phillips?
Asiagi?
Is it Asiagi? No. Is it
the
Juwan
rookie
Williams?
Kyle Duggar? He's really physical. Maybe they use his physicality on him. You guys tell me. I think that's a tough assignment. He's right. That's the guy you got to stop. After you stop him, you're going to make life a little bit more difficult for Jimmy G.
Yeah, I mean, if you treat him like Darren Waller, really, that's kind of the comp. I think the early term comp where the guy had 12 catches the week before, and then he ended up with 2 for 9 yards the very next week. And and Tyler was just in my ear talking about Juwan Williams. Here's a big corner. Really, he's going to end up being a safety when he gets older.
Well, he spent some time in that game against Waller.
Yeah, but remember, it was more of a by committee.
Yeah, it was. There wasn't, was on him a lot, too.
There wasn't, right. Like, one guy that was like, hey, follow him everywhere he goes.
I wish those guys would kind of really give you, really keys to the game. That's just cut and paste. What, stop their best weapon, stop the run, and hit the quarterback?
Hey, be good on third down.
Why don't you just say, red zone defense, don't win the turnover battle, and be good on third down.
Complimentary football, Lou.
I mean, what?
That was good.
If you can't stop the run, it's going to be a long day.
Really? Oh, okay. am I wrong?
That guy's on ESPN. He knows who he's
talking. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're right. Give me specifics.
Yeah,
give me a specific.
How would you do it? You said jam him on the line. Then what? Who would you put on him? Tell me exactly how you would stop him. Tell me. Stop him, jam him, and they got guys that can handle him. How would you handle him? All right, great. How do the Patriots win? I mean, you can copy and paste that against anyone. Yeah. Take away the number one weapon, away the run, and hit the quarterback. Am I wrong? All he's missing is win the turnover battle in red zone D.
Yeah.
Stop Kittle, number one. Number two, stop Kittle.
We're covered.
Well, maybe, he knew what he was doing. They don't really talk a lot of sports on Greg's show, right? So maybe he was just dumbing it down on purpose. And they are good friends.
Let me go to John. John's in Norton. Next up here on OMF. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, Christian, I know this is a rare event for someone whose nickname is Scoops, but your information on Jared Cook was incorrect.
Uh-oh. Go ahead. Where was I wrong?
Jared Cook wanted to come, but Gronk had yet to retire, and Jared Cook didn't want to risk coming here and being the number two to Gronk.
Wait, so you know that based on what? Based on what? Is that your information?
Based on his comments at the time that he signed with New Orleans. And listen, hey, I made a bet with you last season for the Jimmy Fund and whether Brady was going to stay or go, and I paid my bet. So I'm just calling you out after I already
First of all, we haven't even fact-checked this. John, thank you for the contribution to the Jimmy Fund. Always appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Right. But I got to get some fact-checks. I mean, you're just kind of spitting out, nonsense right now. I don't know if you're right or not.
I'm not sure you're going to be able to verify that anyway. It might have been a report. Somebody might have had a report.
Because, the point is that I don't know what the exact date is that Gronk retired. I don't know if somebody can find that. Hey, look that up. The exact date that he retired. But Jared Cook was a free agent or was going to be a free agent. Oakland wasn't bringing him
March
back.
March 24th.
So when does free agency start?
Right? March earlier than that.
Yeah. So, again, that kind of goes to the whole, hey, I'm mad at Gronk because he retired before I had any opportunity. But I remember Jared Cook still being as a target for them. Like, Jared Cook was not going back to Oakland, was still available. There were discussions and rumors, call it that, with them, you know, trying to sign him, but he signed with New Orleans.
Reese was the one that had that report, by the way.
About Jared Cook.
But Rob Gronkowski's uncertain status played a significant role in Cook's thinking.
He wrote that.
He says, a clear path to a top role as a tight end in New Orleans and the uncertainty of Gronk. So he actually wrote that.
So John's right.
I got to
give money to the Jimmy Fund.
Money to the Jimmy Fund. That's what you need to do.
Dunsky.
So we don't know what Asiasi is going to be like. We don't know what Dalton Keene. We don't know what these guys are going to be like. But wouldn't you feel a lot better if they were getting some opportunities right now? The fact that they're not getting opportunities is telling me they're not ready. And how is it we see rookie tight ends out there in the league? We saw one with Denver this past week. He got opportunities. Why, Christian?
Well, I mean, I think, one, it's part of the fact that, you know, you have nothing else. You have no other options. You know, you have no other options.
Yeah.
So I do think Asiasi plays this week, though.
I think he starts. Based on what?
Based on the fact, well, let me answer it then. Based on, because if someone throws out the based on what, you're forced to answer the question.
Based on what?
Based on this. Enough time has gone by. Ryan Izzo got pulled from the game. Asiasi finished the game. Ryan Izzo never went back in the game unless it was some, I think, one or two plays or was strictly a pass blocking situation. He didn't run out on any routes. Asiasi has done enough. I think he has gained enough goodwill equity from Bill, and I feel like based on the fact that Izzo messed up and he's only so good that I think it's time to kind of see what they have in Asiasi. Yes. All right, so based on that,
we're going to get...
Go to the yay!
We're going to get back to the phone calls. Plus, we want Lou to respond to a wild baseball report that has been circulating here in the last day. We'll get to all of that and more right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And that was frustrating. The Jared Cook thing was frustrating. Didn't know if he'd be second fiddle to Gronk or not. And Gronk dragged his feet because, you know what? Gronk didn't want to help the Patriots and make it easier on them.
Tommy Curran.
Hey.
He said the same thing the caller said there.
That's why they lost out on Jared
Cook. Well, that was a big part of it. So that goes back to the anger or the animosity that I feel that Bill still has towards Gronk to this day.
Gronk's the reason why. And I told you.
You set us back 2 years.
I told you. You know, he likes to hold the grudge. So Gronk made us lose out on Jared Cook. Therefore, I'm not going to have a tight end the next 2 years because I'm still mad at Gronk.
Yeah, so I'm going to take it out on the offense. I'm going to show you. I keep, you know, this comes up all the time, and we were talking about it this morning, that there is this animosity that exists. I was talking to Rob about it because Rob got a whole, you know, send-off. Rob Ninkovich, who was on with Greg this morning, he got a whole send-off. He was able to talk about his experience and thank everybody. Rob never got to do that. Do you remember when Bill, I think it was at the coaches meeting in like Arizona or something like that. It's like right after the season ended, right after Gronk retired, they went and asked him about Gronk and he wouldn't respond to him. Wouldn't mention his name.
No.
Like the guy was retired. So was he still holding a grudge then?
Yeah.
So does that make any sense to you?
No, I think Lou's right. I think he holds grudges. He sits there and says, all I expect you to do is tell me in advance. And Gronk held it over his head.
I'm not sure. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he made the decision.
We can go to Rob Ninkovich, Ryan. But Rob Ninkovich this morning was asked about the comments that he was making in glowing terms about George Kittle. And Ninkovich thought it was a direct slap at Gronk.
When you hear Bill gushing about Kittle, essentially calling him the best to ever play the position.
I don't get why he's doing that.
Do you think that's a shot at Gronk?
It seems like a little shot. It seems a little like jab. Just like the gushing on Cam, like the hardest worker. I've never seen anyone work so hard. It's like, well, I've never really seen you or heard you be that polite. He was that compliment. He complimented me like that on my retirement day. Great. It was great. I was retiring. So I just think that it may be a slight little jab there, which it seems a little unnecessary. So for me, I like him as the number one tight end in the league right now. Now, best ever, it's still Gronk to me.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a debate. I actually don't think we're going to have the debate because Kittle is coming in. He's young. He's crazy, and he's fearless. So, of course, you're going to sit there and start comparing him to Gronk. I mean,
it's only been 4 years.
But isn't it true? Like yesterday, you asked me, I said Gronk was better, and the difference. And so they're both great receivers. They're both great blockers. But, you know, one guy in the red zone was just dominant.
Gronk.
I mean, maybe that's quarterback, whatever, how they use him, but he's just a monster.
Yeah, talk to me in 4 years, Lou, about it. That's where you really
judge. Yeah, but look how
fast
he is. Yeah. Okay, he's fast. I mean, Gronk was fast, too.
Right.
Gronk was deceptively fast. And I haven't seen George Kittle throw one guy out of the club yet.
They're both great.
When he does that, come call
me. They're both
great. Oh, he is.
But I do think that, the grudge with Gronk, you know, but it doesn't take away from the fact that, fine, you know, Gronk is leaving. You could have drafted somebody. You know, you could have drafted someone that year. I think that was your Izzo, whatever, right? In 2018, the sixth, seventh round. He kind of is what he is. He's not bad if you had a real starting tight end. Like, he's a decent second tight end, right? If he's out there, you go in two tight end sets, okay. But the last 3 years, with all indications that Gronk's future is uncertain, we don't know what we're doing, and to not take a stab at that position is just...
And I think, but again, that's part of it, though. You know, I love the title of this column that Tommy Curran wrote because it really is almost like a murder mystery.
Almost
like a whodunit. Like, what happened to the Patriots tight end factory? Like, what happened to it? It's like a 30 for 30. It's like I'm just looking for Columbo in here with his trench coat to come in with a cigar and be like, something's up, he'd sound like that.
That was a really Columbo impression? Oh, my God.
Woo!
Okay.
I don't even know what Columbo sounds like.
Like a drunk old lady. That's what it sounded like. God, that was
awful.
But it is
interesting. What happened to it?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be making a big deal out of it if you weren't. Out of all the positions, let's do this. Out of all the positions... position groups, O-line, tight end, receivers, backs, linebackers, whatever. You know what I mean. where has he had the most success at as far as drafting, developing, and finding free agents? Give me an in order. Give me an order.
Well, I think they've always been very good at the offensive line.
Offensive line. Even in the fifth, sixth round, they've done well.
And even like interior defensive line.
Rank them. What position like over the last 20 years have they done the best job at as far as...
Offensive line.
Yeah, it's five guys.
I thought at one time, Christian,
like
they did a great job at tight ends. I think that's our point. For years, they did a great job with tight ends, and tight ends were emphasized in their offense. And now... Over the last two seasons, they can't even go to a tight end.
I think they've done the best at the tight end position. They've done the best at it as far as the guys that at least they used to. I mean, I remember, like, you remember Kyle Brady?
Yes.
Kyle Brady, that undefeated season, played one year, had a bunch of touchdowns. They were meaningless. And it never really mattered. And everyone was catching touchdown passes that year.
Yeah.
He played 1 year, blocked his ass off, and then left.
Yeah.
I mean, so they just were able to just, you know, lose one guy, plug in another guy. You know, they draft two tight ends in 3 years in the first round. They go ahead and draft two guys in the same year that end up being two of the best that played in the league for years.
They have to have one of these two kids that's got to emerge here. Here's House in Dorchester. House.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up,
so
House?
Let me ask you something, Brett. So here's the thing. Everything y'all are saying, it sounds like to me the problem is not Cam. It's the GM. It's Bill Belichick. Like, he needs to just stick to one job. Let somebody be a dedicated GM and let him just be the best coach in the world.
There is somebody else that does a lot of those duties. You know that, right?
But
in Nick Caserio.
But who has the oversee?
He makes the final decision, I would think, yeah.
Right. Okay, so he's been making the final decision, and he's been making a few mistakes. I'm not saying he's been making
a whole bunch. So what does that have to do with Cam?
Because this is the thing. So if he had got the running back right, we could have got Chubb. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if he would have got Chubb, that would have been fine. And Cam has a runner. We have too much morale. There's three people out there that can help us win. Do we want wins or do we want quiet boys? We can get Antonio
House.
Brown.
Oh,
why
are
they not working out on Dez Bryant?
House.
Why
he's
on
somebody's practice
Walker?
House, you're combining two different arguments. We're talking about the tight end situation.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
The wide receivers.
Help
but
me,
when we talked about Cam earlier, it wasn't about it. It was more about what he's looked the last 2 weeks. And a lot of people picking up on going back and looking at that game film yesterday and saying, Jesus, actually, you know what? He was open. Underthrow, bad decision, held on to the ball. Like, so now it's become the last week, and we'll give him an excuse. Well, you know, he missed a whole week of practice. But if that sort of play keeps up and your coach is looking at film saying, my quarterback is not throwing to this or this, or not doing his job, I don't think Bill keeps going to him if it continues.
I don't think he can.
So there's two different
really
discussions.
I really don't think he can. And then he has to make a decision. Is this 1 year and out with Cam Newton? And if that's the case, he has to start thinking about 2021. Here's Steve in Braintree. Steve.
Hey, Glenn, Kristen, and Lou. I listen to your show often. You guys do a great job.
Hey,
listen, I want to shift gears, if we can, just a little bit and talk about the defense.
Yeah.
And why is it so – why are we giving them a free pass? I mean, we seem to be accepting the fact that as long as the opposing team, every time they get the ball, they kick a field goal, we're happy with that. Sunday we go down 18-0, and it's like, oh, my God, what just happened? This defense – seem to go from prevent defense to red zone defense. There seems to be nothing in the middle. And I just don't understand. We don't talk enough about that. We talk about the offense, and certainly the offense has some flaws.
Well, the offense, Steve.
What about the defense?
The offense has put the defense in a tough predicament on a few occasions. Right? Because
right.
of turnovers, they have put them in a rough situation. I think the Patriots defense is the least of your concerns, certainly the secondary. You may argue up front they're having a little difficulty from time to time stopping the run, and when you get injuries as you did because they're not real deep in that position, you have some problems. But I think the last thing you worry about is this defense.
No, and listen.
They're not the 85 Bears, I'll give you that.
Steve, we talked about it the other day. Even Teddy brought it up yesterday. Like, I'm not giving this defense too much credit for what they did against Denver, that awful offense. One of the worst offenses in football, six consecutive drives. I know two were on turnovers, but 13-play drive, 12-play drive, 15-play drive.
Not great. They kept him out of the end zone. But, Jesus. I mean, three consecutive drives of 13, 12, and 15 plays. To me, against that offense, that's unacceptable. Your defense is healthy. Hello.
Well, they lost Adam Butler in the middle of the game, and you go look at the run right after they lost Adam Butler, and that's when Denver effectively ran the ball to his side. So I don't think they're deep enough. And maybe Bo Allen helps him. He's coming back. Maybe he helps him. Bo Allen.
He is a real person.
Bo Allen. By the way, this is not good. James White not at practice again today. So and they say it's a non-injury situation. So you know, you look at it, and they haven't put him on the COVID-19 list. So you worry that maybe he's had to go home or something like that. They're not saying anything. But does he play if he only gets one day of practice here, Christian?
Yes.
Shows up.
Yes. Well, we realize that practice is unimportant. Oh, actually, no, it is important now. No, sorry,
this week we found
it's important again.
Important.
Yeah, sorry.
That's Tennessee. It's not. Yeah. It's not important. All right, we're going to try to put some AFC teams in a list here because I think we're starting to whittle these teams down in which you certainly know who are the power teams and who aren't, and where do you fit the Patriots in that group. We'll get to all of that and more right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, a quick little baseball bet here, gentlemen. Michael Felger yesterday says that a cocktail party source, and I'm not knocking cocktail party sources because there are some good sources.
That's
sometimes
where you get all your information.
Exactly. They get a couple belts in them and, you know, they start talking. Loose lips. He claims that this cocktail party source told him that the Red Sox offered Mookie Betts a similar deal as the Dodgers, and Mookie churned it down. The Red Sox were satisfied with that scenario of being labeled cheap versus guys don't want to play here in Boston. Now, Lou, you knew all the numbers. You had a real good grasp of all of this. So you tell me, does that make any sense?
No. For the people that I talk to, no. And I honestly, given some of the information I've had, I come from three different sides. And number one, the numbers that I threw out there, no one's disputed them. Nobody's come back and said, actually, it was more than that. It was less than that. Marloni's an idiot, or the reports aren't true. Mookie actually talked about it at one point, didn't he? They asked him about the reports. So, no, I don't believe that to be the case. As a matter of fact, like I said before, 10 years, a little over 300, I don't think that everybody in the room was all in on that. The 10-year deal they were uncomfortable with. They weren't going to offer him 12 years. And the whole, the PR spin to it, like, would you rather be known as being cheap or a team that people don't want to play for? I don't know where people come up with this thing that people don't want to play for the Red Sox. Like, when have we seen that? Like, who's refused to play for the Red Sox.
Like, I thought that was the Celtics.
Yeah, well, exactly. they pay money. Players come here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of what they do. Now, I don't know if it's turning into black players don't want to play here. Now, I can't talk about Mookie Betts and how he felt about guys like, you know, David Price, how they were treated, or what happened with Adam Jones and all this stuff. You know, what's going on in the head of Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts and David Price and how they feel about it. But, no, Mookie Betts is a businessman. Sorry. Bottom line, said it again, and I can say it till I'm blue in the face. People, I guess, don't want to believe the information I have, but they didn't want to go as far as he wanted to. He was going to hold it out. They didn't think it was worth it, to the point where, you know, I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't believe that stuff.
So here's Mookie talking about that deal.
I'm just kind of wondering, you know, there was a report that you turned down $300 million from the Boston Red Sox. You know, given everything that's going on, you know, economically right now, labor-wise in baseball, you know, do you have any second thoughts about that now in retrospect? And how confident are you that the market will be there for you this winter if you do perform?
I don't regret turning down that. And that was, you know, once I make a decision, I'm making a decision. I'm not going back.
And let's also remember that the final deal he did with the Dodgers was not going to get it done before the COVID.
That I had first, by the way.
What's that? That you had first. Yeah. That's correct.
So you can still keep doubting who I talk to, but that's okay.
Who does?
No, I'm just saying you can still keep doubting that where the info comes from. You think the Red Sox, you know, management, ownership told me that one about Mookie's deal?
No.
So I'm just saying, like, that was the offer. He wanted more. You know, yeah, they didn't come close to offering what he wanted. They were off over about $100 million on three straight offers. They were never close, ever close. And I think they realized that even the year before, in 19, during the season, that it wasn't going to happen. You know, but hey, they got hot at the wrong time, and nothing ever really happened. But no, they were never close.
No, but I'm talking about the Felger when he talks about that he turned down a deal that was similar to the Dodgers deal. This final deal you got from the Dodgers was less money than what Mookie Betts originally wanted, correct? But
yes,
the conditions changed because the coronavirus and everything else. He had going to free agency in this offseason suddenly changed everything. He couldn't get the same amount of money in free agency.
Yeah, they never went past 10. Like 12 years? No chance.
No.
And it certainly wasn't going to be 10-360. You know, he got 12-360. No. None of it. I mean, sorry. Like, it's just, they never got that. They never, ever got that close. And that's the reason people said, why didn't they hold out? You know, why didn't they just wait to see what happened? Number one, no one's going to guess that a pandemic was going to hit, okay? The market was the market. They have trends. They know what the value is. You're never even close to coming to a conclusion. Never even close to coming to an agreement. What makes you think that you would after a year? People say, well, you'll keep bargaining. You're never close. Now, if my house is worth $500,000 and you keep offering me $250,000, we're never going to get a deal done. And they realized that. And they moved on.
Well, they had to.
It was never
going to happen. In return. Yeah, they had to get something in return. They had to. They couldn't sit around and wait and take the gamble in the offseason that maybe Mookie will change his mind and he'll come back to Boston. And I'm not. I don't ever think it was he didn't want to be in Boston. He didn't want to stay here. I think you said it best. He's a businessman. He's Darrell Revis.
So he wanted
to make sure every dollar was on that table.
They offer a nice contract to George Springer. He says, no, I don't want to play in Boston. I mean, they go after free agents. No, I don't want to play in Boston. No, really? Oh, that's you're talking about one guy here, you know, Jackie Bradley. He might be leaving. I don't know. Does anybody care that maybe he doesn't want to play here? Who knows? But does anybody really care?
Yeah, but if they
offer, going to want him back anyway.
If they offered him a deal, and
they never
offered
him a deal,
right?
Why did Xander Bogaerts want to stay here? This place sucks,
right?
Why would you want to be here? Why did Sanders?
Yeah,
stay here?
I don't buy any of that. If you're a baseball player, you want to be in a big market because the big market's going to pay you the money, especially when you become a free agent and you leave Tampa Bay. They're in the World Series right now, so that you can come to a place like Boston.
Yeah,
that's what you do. It's simple as that. All right, the AFC. We're through five games here, and you tell me. I think it's down to four teams right now that can win the AFC. Kansas City.
Yep.
Baltimore.
Yep.
Tennessee. Pittsburgh.
Yep.
That's it. You got another one?
I mean, you just picked all the front runners, all the best ones.
Well, I think those are, I can't think of
those
another
those are the obvious
team.
Ones, though. Those are all the division leaders. Those
okay,
division,
so let me throw it a different way. Can Buffalo get their act together to the point that they're in that group?
I would be surprised if they could make it to the Super Bowl or to the AFC Championship.
AFC Championship.
I think they could do it. Yeah, I do think there's. I do think they could. Yeah, I mean,
Cleveland. Can Cleveland get to the AFC Championship?
No,
can they straighten out their
no, they are no.
They're right, not. We all admit there's four teams.
They're the third best team in their division.
Four teams, right?
Yes.
Four teams.
I said four, yeah. Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh right now. And I'm not just basing it on their record. I'm basing it on personnel. And you don't see any of those teams falling apart from here to the end of the season.
So the Patriots have no chance.
I don't think they're in that mix. No
chance. And then, again, I think you're starting to hit on the next group of teams, the next group of playoff teams. And that is the teams you're just mentioning. You know, Buffalo, Cleveland, Indy. You know, that's your playoffs, guys.
See, I think that
those are your seven teams.
I think that the others. So, you added Cleveland, right?
And maybe Oakland, Vegas, rather. I don't know. But
so
ahead, yeah.
So the others, my others. Okay, you have your divisional winners. So my divisional winners are to be the ones I thought there was going to be. It's going to be the Bills, the Chiefs, the Steelers. I'll just put the Steelers there for now, and the Titans. So the Ravens are going to make the playoffs. They may even win the division. And then Oakland. And then I would say the next one, the Colts are real intriguing. Like this, that second tier, those that second place divisional team in all these divisions, the West, the North, and the South, those are really intriguing teams.
But Baltimore and like, Pitt, you admit, are legit.
Both those teams, yeah, they can end up, those two teams, that's going to be a battle right there. But when you go to the AFC South, you say, okay, the Titans are going to win it. Why? Because they're 5-0? The Colts are 4-2. They're two games behind them.
Titans are a better team.
But they have no defense whatsoever, and I would say they won some really close games by really good coaching decisions, and it may not happen again. They have one of the worst defenses out there. Houston was able to run all over the place. They made bad decisions. So, fine, you give them credit. But that second-tier race, that's the race that's going to be fun to me.
Those are the playoff teams. I still think the Patriots are in the mix for a playoff team, but they're not one of the four teams that you could look at and say, as of right now, through what, week six, these are the four teams that look to be the best in the AFC.
Yeah. Those are the four. And then I'm throwing Indianapolis, I'm throwing Buffalo, and I'm throwing Cleveland in the next group. And then you're in the next group. You're in there with Vegas, and you're in there with Miami. That's who you're in there with. On the outside, looking at
just missing the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah. No, maybe not just missing. I mean, if things kind of go the way they go, then who knows? I mean, they could just sell off some pieces. That's why I always talk about the 6-10, 7-9 kind of scenario, whereas like the first, you know, eight games don't go so well, and it turns into seven games don't go so well, and it turns into, all right, whatever, Cam, you're out of here. Let's see what Stidham can do. Maybe we'll trade away Gilmore. He ain't back next year. We'll trade away Tooney. You know, this is kind of the road I'm talking about here.
Yeah, I'm not ready to put the Colts in that group at all.
Colts have a great defense.
Especially with Phillip Rivers. He's up and down. He's all over the place from quarter to quarter.
There's only two spots left in the AFC. As of now, it's early. We can sit here 5 weeks from now, and the Colts could be – this record can be completely different. They could be leading the AFC South, and the Titans could be a close second. So you really only have two spots. Because the two teams from the AFC North are going to get into the playoffs. And if you have seven teams, then, okay, who are the next two? How does that race?
Well, let me give you, the Colts have a bye. They come out and play the Lions. Then their next four, the Ravens, Titans, Packers, Titans. That's the Colts. Four games after a Detroit Lion.
They're 4-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they lost to Jacksonville
four
already.
Four games in a row.
They've lost to Jacksonville.
Listen, I think they're a
rough ride here.
Yeah,
I do.
Patriots lost to the Broncos.
Yeah, I
just
feel
like
team.
They're just the perennial good teams are all the teams that we thought they were going to be up there. We thought the Bills were going to be up there, maybe not number one, but I did. The Chiefs, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Titans. So it's a race for those last two spots is what it's going to come down to. and then what that record needs to be. If it's 8-8, I think they got a shot. I think the Patriots have a shot. 7-9 won't do it. Hell, if you're 9-7, you're in a good spot if you're in the AFC. 9-7 will get you in the playoffs all day long.
I agree. And that's why I still believe it. The Browns. We'll see. You know, I mean, you know, they're again, the Browns and the Bills to me are teams that you think you are, which you're not. Like, they'll beat the teams. Like, the Browns have gotten smoked twice. They got smoked by the Ravens and they got smoked by the Steelers. And they've beaten all the other teams. They had one good game, Indianapolis. That's a good win. They'll beat Cincinnati. They'll beat the Raiders. They'll beat the Texans. They'll beat the Eagles. You know, they'll.
I don't know. They're so bipolar. That's a bipolar team.
Yep.
That's up and down, left and right. You never know what you're going to get. One day everyone's getting along. The next day they're all bitching and complaining and blaming Baker Mayfield for all their losses.
Yeah. Mayfield's got some issues.
The under 500 teams. Chargers are 1-4. Any chance of making the playoffs?
No.
Denver 2-3.
No.
Jacksonville 1-5.
No.
Houston 1-5.
No.
Cincinnati 1-4.
No.
New York Jets 0-6. And the last under 500 team, your New England Patriots 2-3. The Patriots are the only team I think that could still be in the mix.
It's such an uphill battle when you're 2-3 to dig yourself out of a hole to get to 8-8. Get to 8-8.
That's why you
gotta
win.
It's unbelievably difficult.
You gotta win this.
You can't lose to the Broncos. You can't lose the gimmies. Because it makes this battle so much more challenging. But remember early in the season we talked about how difficult this schedule was? The San Francisco 49ers do not look nearly as dangerous as they did before the season started.
No, but they look a lot more dangerous than they looked 2 weeks ago.
But still, not as you thought this was an elite team. We all thought it was.
Well, we thought it was an elite defense. And that would be a huge issue.
Yes.
You know, and right now they've lost the bookends, Dee Ford and Bosa and Sherman, even though he's not the same guy, still good. They walk in here without their leading running back and Mostert's hurt. So yeah, it's a different team. But they're still a good football team in this league.
All right, so we'll get into it and back into it in the next hour. When you look at the Patriots situation right now, this really becomes almost a must game.
Yes.
I know mathematically it's not a must game.
Buffalo's playing the Jets. Yes, it is.
You've got to split these next two. If you go 0-2, if you go 0-2 in these next two, you're 2-5, and then you have to start thinking, do we want to continue doing what we're doing right now, or do we start playing some of these other people, and maybe it means playing a younger quarterback to figure out where you're going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
2-5 would be a huge, gigantic hole.
You know, just being in that hole is such a terrible feeling. It's the worst because before you can even get your feet underneath you and get back to 500, you just want to get back to 500. That's it. Can we just start over again?
You know, it's so weird because we've had games, you know, like, oh, this is a big week for the Patriots, you know, if they think they're a number one seed.
Yeah.
If they think they're a number two, if they want the bye, which we know they need to have to make a run or – that's always been kind of like, what's at stake? This week, it's like, I mean, if you don't suck, you have to win. You know, I mean, like, if you lose this game, you don't lose a bye. If you lose this game, you know, you're selling pieces off in a week away. You know, your quarterback's getting pulled because it doesn't matter what he does anymore. It's about what Stidham looks like. You know, it's completely, what's at stake right now is not, you know, what we're accustomed to in the past. You're right, 2-4, and the Bills go to 6-2, or 5-2 because they beat the Jets. And then you got them. I mean,
They have to play with a sense of urgency. This is one of those games you got to look at as a must. San Francisco had one of those games last week.
San Fran's in the same boat.
They are. But the thing that's so different, though, and you know this, Christian, you're coming back home for a big game. You've got the home crowd. You're into it. You're more emotional. None of that exists anymore.
Well,
you don't
same,
have that.
It's the same with the NBA. So I kind of exclude it. I take it out of the equation. Like, home field advantage, I mean, great. You know, hoping that somebody jumps offside because your crowd is yelling and screaming, great. Maybe you lose a couple gimmies like that. But that you can't – I never went into a game saying, wow, I hope our crowd saves us. Never.
Tom did. Tom used to say it all the time.
To the crowd.
Oh, no. Was that what he was doing?
The crowd. Yes,
that
was, Glenn.
Yes, they're drinking early.
It is Thursday. It is time for us to try to guess our mystery guest. Who can it be?
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Boy, you know me so well. See the way he just dropped that? He knew. He just know. We know each other.
You know, he sounded like a sick chihuahua. They're doing that. That's what it sounded like. All right, Tyler gives us a beautiful clue that we that's useless. And then we ask a zillion questions over 2 minutes to see if we can guess the mystery guest. Go ahead, Tyler.
This person is just another example of an athlete who later joined the sports media. Your 2 minutes starts now.
You're welcome. Wow. Go ahead. All right.
So you're getting a lot of those. It seems like they were on every Thursday.
I mean, I think with these, you kind of focus on the Patriots. So you start with, was this guy a former Patriot?
Was not a former Patriot.
Ooh.
Was he a former NFL player?
He was.
Oh, okay. There you go. A little broader topic there. I kind of narrowed it down for you.
Okay, so former NFL.
Was he an offensive player?
Offense, yes.
Okay. Was he a quarterback?
Quarterback, yes.
Did he play?
You're on a roll, Christian.
Has he played football in the last 6 years?
No.
10 years?
No.
15 years?
Nope.
Was he?
So he goes back to
1990s.
Did he play in the 1990s?
1990s, yes.
Okay. 90s. Okay, the 1990s.
Has he won a Super Bowl?
No.
Is he
a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, there you go.
Not a Hall of Famer.
Ooh.
Has he played in a Super Bowl?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Definitely never started one.
Is he like, does he do games on TV?
He did at times, but not now.
Was he in studio? Was he print?
He was more of an analyst than an in-game broadcaster.
Is he still an analyst?
Wait a minute.
Does he work for CBS?
No.
Does he work for NBC?
No.
Is he ABC? Is he still in the media?
Still in the media, but not at ESPN. There's your hint.
Oh. Is he at Fox?
No.
Well, I named all the networks. Is he at CBS?
Fox?
Telemundo?
NBC? Nope.
What? No.
Is he a national guy?
No. Local guy.
Oh, here we go. Is he local in our city?
Not in Boston.
New York?
Nope, not New York.
California? LA.
Nope.
Okay, East Coast or West Coast?
Right in the middle.
Oh, right
in the Chicago.
Not Chicago.
Okay. Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. 15.
You know, but you guys, I have no idea on this one today.
Is he a white guy or a black guy?
Yes.
I mean, yes.
5. 5 seconds. Final question?
I have no clue.
White guy.
Okay.
Your 2 minutes is up.
Has he won any awards?
All right. Right in the middle. All right. I tell you what.
None of us have a clue.
So we're going to have to wait until the flip side to actually do this, I guess.
Jeez. This is a
true mystery guest.
Yep. This hour has been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. We're all going to find out who the special mystery guest is right after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.